Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And Mommy too.
Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio, as we take you through the latest and greatest of all things under the Disney umbrella. And to take you on this magic carpet ride through our podcast with Punch, Pizzazz, Yahoo, and How is myself, your host, Liam. And to join me, of course, is the Jafar to my Iago, the Aladdin to my Abu, the genie to my lamp, the diamond in the rough.
That's me, Brittany. I would have appreciated if I was the Jasmine to your Aladdin, but I guess I will take the Aladdin to your Abu.
I am far less Aladdin than Abu, but maybe you are the Jasmine to my Raja. Maybe that's what it could have been.
Ooh, that one I like too. Let's see.
You're like, re-record it. Do the whole thing again.
Do it all over again. No, I appreciate the Aladdin reference, because in today's world, a girl can do whatever the heck she wants and be whoever she wants to be.
Too true, girlfriend. Bang, bang. Nice. So why don't you Aladdin us through the Disney news here?
All right. Let's talk about Lady Gaga, rumored to play Ursula in the live-action Little Mermaid. Disney released the first teaser trailer for Aladdin, the live-action. Hints, Liam. And Downtown Disney Luxury Hotel canceled, but pedestrian bridge for that the parking structure over at Mickey and Friends happening.
Nice. So in Marvel news, new set photos and videos show a black and red spider suit for Spider-Man 2 Far From Home. Iron Fist 3 has been canceled, but we'll talk about some of the things that Finn Jones and Jessica Henwick had to say, and then we'll go through a rumored trailer breakdown for Avengers 4.
Right, Star Wars news. We got to talk about Chuck Wendig. Hopefully I said that right. Yeah. Let go from Marvel's Star Wars comics amidst the string of, tweets.
As one does. Star Wars Episode 9 may drop the title name and the first trailer on February 3rd for the 2019 Super Bowl.
Always football.
Always. Always.
And, of course, we got to talk about The Mandalorian and that rifle. Looks familiar.
Nice. So we'll have all this and more on this episode of Hilt Radio. But, as always, let's go through what we did this week. T1, take us on in.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
All right, so I feel like we've been spending a lot of time in front of the TV.
As we
one
do.
Does. Lately. I think fall is just TV time.
Yeah.
It's when all the good shows come back, and you're like, I guess it's time to catch up on all my TVs, and it gets colder some places.
Right, apparently not here.
Not as much here. It's nice, but it's not cold. But you just want to stay inside and watch some good shows. So what have we been watching?
So we finally got to see Star Wars Resistance.
Yeah, the first three episodes. So I don't know if they've released any other than that. But I know on demand you can watch three episodes. And I think the first one was like an hour long.
Well, because it was the first two episodes and they kind of sandwiched it together.
Did they?
So it was The Recruit part one and part two, but that is episode one and episode two.
Oh, okay.
And then they also released episode three. So that's what we've watched.
If you watch, I thought like they released like four then, because I thought it was like one and two, and then you watch it in the hour long or however long it is, and then you watched two and three. I could have swore there was two different stories that we watched after that.
Okay, so then yeah, maybe they have.
I think they just count it as episode one. It's a long one, and then there's an episode two and there's an episode three. I could be wrong, but I remember seeing
nice
episode one being like an hour or something long.
Right, but remember the other day where like only the second part was on after like Muppet Babies or something? So it was like Muppet Babies, and then it was just the part two of The Recruit.
Yeah, but
it wasn't the whole first half of the...
But I think that had to do with airing. And like when things go out of place, they're like, oh, this was supposed to be on, and this is where it's picked up off.
Yeah, that's possible.
Where it's like when they give that message, and now back to your originally scheduled show.
Yeah, but why would Muppet Babies be like, oh, we got to throw this in here randomly at 3 o'clock. Oh, I'm sorry. We cut off half the season opener of
Resistance.
Did
you hear what you said? Muppet Babies.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. We got to watch that Halawaka at least 20 more times.
Before Halloween.
Yeah, no, I thought the show was good. Definitely the Colossus, the ships, the dog fights, all of that was phenomenally done. I'm still not 100% sold on the renderings for the characters.
Yeah.
But I like the characters themselves. They are a lot of fun.
The voice acting.
Yeah, the voice acting is a lot of fun. Unfortunately, Kaz is probably not high on my list of characters so far.
I like him.
I do like pretty much everybody else so far. And that's not me being my typical facetious self where I'm like, everybody else is better than Kaz. But no, just every other character I have enjoyed. Mm-hmm. There really hasn't been one where I'm like, oh, I don't care for that one. That one's not that great. Maybe Kaz is a little too Luke Skywalker for me. He's a little too whiny.
I don't know. I don't even get that from him at all. Like, Kaz, what is Ziono?
Yeah.
I thought he was super cool. And I feel like he's very confident, but not like cocky yet. And
I
thought he was going to be cocky because everything I read made it come off cross like, oh, he's going to be the annoying person.
Well, he'd
in this
be too Poe-esque at that point.
See, and I love that he went into it. Sorry if this is spoilers, but you know, coming into a situation to where somebody is telling this whole what is it called? The Colossus. What is that?
It's a base.
The whole base, I guess. There's another name for it. Anyway.
The station?
The station? I don't know. So, like, saying that he's the greatest, you know, fighter or our greatest racer of them all and da-da-da-da. And he wasn't like, yeah, I am. I love that he didn't do that. Yeah. He wasn't going to be annoying to me. He's not annoying. And I feel like it's very common for, like, the main character to be obnoxious.
Right, to come across as such.
And I didn't get that from him.
So you enjoy him
so
far.
I actually like him, and I like the voice actor. I think that's why I like it, because I think they picked the perfect person to voice that character.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't come off that way.
Nice. Well, maybe he'll grow on me, because as of yet...
As of yet, you're just wrong, so it's okay.
Yeah, there you go. Fair enough.
You'll get there, Liam.
I am a man. We do these things sometimes. We watched that. I liked it. Definitely enjoyed it more than Rebels or Clone Wars, at least from, like, the jump off. But I do think the first episode, like the long episode, actually kept my attention better than the two subsequent ones that we watched, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, I watched the whole first one, but then I found in the second and third, I was pulling out my phone to, like, do other things while also still taking in the episode.
You did.
So as my barometer of interest, which is what you usually do, except you don't try to watch it first. You are on your phone first. And then
it has to pull me in.
And then if it draws you in, then you put your phone out. Whereas for me, I try to watch it. And then if I lose attention, then
I pull out my phone. If we're pulling out our phone, then it's just not interesting enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's exactly what it is.
For two and three, not as much. But I have gone back and watched them again, and they have been good. So,
Well, hey, what's Frodo? Is the voice of,
Elijah Wood popped in. So that was kind of cool to have him be a character, and it seems like it's going to be a recurring one. It's going to be somebody that keeps coming back, so that's fun.
Because he was one of the people we were saying, like, why isn't he in Star Wars? Because he needs to be.
I would have liked him as, like, physically in Star Wars, but still voicing a character is a lot of fun, so I'll take what I can get.
Like, could still be, you know, a physical character. Like, just because you voice something doesn't mean anything these days.
Yeah, but he used his normal Elijah Wood voice. He didn't try to, like, characterize it. Mm. So it's, you know, once you told me who it was, I was like, oh, well, yeah, now I hear it.
Yeah, once you know, like you said. But there's possibilities. They can make things happen if that's what's in the books. But there's so many people out there. And Star Wars is good for not using very well-known people. So... He is very much a known actor.
Yeah. He's renowned, but it's not somebody that does a lot of things. You know what I mean? Like, when you really think of what was the last movie you saw him in?
I don't remember.
Lord of the Rings. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like we've watched a lot of stuff since then that he has popped up in. The only other ones that readily come to mind.
Didn't he do a TV show?
Yeah, remember.
Was it Wilfred?
Yeah, Wilfred. Yeah, which was
the
remake
imaginary
of.
Imaginary dog or something? Or not imaginary.
Well, it's not imaginary, but he sees the dog as a man in a dog suit, whereas everybody else just sees the dog as a dog.
Interesting.
And it's actually the same. It's, what's his name? The comedian. The Australian comedian.
I don't know.
But he also played the dog in the Australian version of the show before they remade it for the United States, and it's still the same actor.
Cool.
But yeah.
We didn't watch it. I just know.
I've watched it. I watched the first season. I thought it was
you
really funny.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Years ago. Yeah, years ago.
What?
Yeah. It was funny. I liked it.
Anyway. I don't remember this.
Yeah. But what else we watch? We got a
a little
freebie,
grody.
A freebie access to HBO Go.
You know who you are.
Yeah. So we decided to check out a couple movies, and they had The Greatest Showman on there, which apparently you had wanted to see last year when it came out in theaters. I don't remember this, but I do remember after when you said we had no money.
And then we're like, oh,
that's why we didn't.
We spent all of our money on, I feel like, Coco three times or something in theaters and something else.
Star Wars.
But
once.
So yeah, I am really bummed that we did not see Greatest Showman, because this was one that I absolutely wanted to see in the theaters, because Hugh Jackman, come on.
Yeah.
He's just gorgeous and a great singer. So, and it looked amazing. The visuals, I remember in the trailers thinking like, what? This is such a cool like concept for a movie. And
But it was so weird, because like the way they sold it was just like, oh, it's a movie about a circus. They didn't sell it as like, oh, this is P.T. Barnum. Yeah. And I kind of thought that that was a miss. Like, I feel like if I had gotten more that, like, oh, this is a semi-autobiographical, loosely based on P.T. Mm-hmm. Barnum, I probably would have been more interested in it. But just for it to be like, it's Hugh Jackman doing a circus musical.
I just don't think it was on your radar as much.
No, definitely That's not. It. But when we watched it, we were blown away by how good this movie was.
It's amazing. It's probably one of my favorite movies. That's easily said.
Can
watch it. We have been watching it over and over. We watch it multiple times.
We've seen it like 10 times already.
In a matter of like 2.5 days.
Yeah. Well, we watched it, what, twice on the HBO Go?
We watched it the night. Because
the next
we can't
morning.
Keep taking Chris's HBO login forever, because right. that's just being, you know.
But it's a good way to test drive a movie before we buy it. But literally went out the next morning and bought the Blu-ray DVD
digital HD
copy.
Because we needed to see the extras. And that's mostly what we knew we could watch it, but we wanted to see all of the extras on it. And I'm glad that we bought it, because there's a ton of the making of the songs. And I think that's probably the best part of the whole dang movie, other than the movie. So... I think it was necessary that we got to see that. If you are a huge fan of it and maybe you have not seen the extra scenes, I'm sure you can probably YouTube it. Other people always upload things, so it's possible that it's there. But I think it's necessary to see the making of the music, and even just the making of the whole show, bringing the cast together, watching them try to greenlight the movie. Oh, I loved it. There's this whole sequence of how that goes in when they're trying to get the big heads of the company to, you know, sign off on this film is, all right, we're going to talk about the film, what it's going to be, and then we're going to put this the music for you. And of course, you have an orchestra, you have, not an orchestra, but a group of people, a smaller group of people singing some of the songs, and the songwriters are there. And then, of course, Hugh Jackman's there, because they're like, hello, he's the selling point. Can he sing these songs? And we know he can.
Right.
And I think it's fun to watch all that come together.
Yeah, no, I think we always enjoyed the special features. I was bummed there was no gag reel. I was kind of hoping for a gag reel. But it looked like they just had so much fun making the film, and the fact that they poured, it was like 7 years or something like that into developing this, was phenomenal. So we have thoroughly enjoyed it, watched it numerous times. When we're not watching it, we're listening to the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. When we're not listening to the soundtrack, I'm trying to figure out the songs on ukulele. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a very interesting couple of days.
Greatest Showman, bunch of, I don't know, days, I guess the rest of our... Probably year will probably be filled with this for sure. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. And we've only heard positive things from so many people. And I know Chris had recommended it also. He said that one was good and this one's good. He's been wanting me to see La La Land. So that's originally why we went on. And of course, it's not on HBO anymore.
No.
So that one we might just have to buy, because I know a few other people recommended that one as well. So we are probably going to do I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That for Greatest Showman. Guaranteed. And maybe another movie. I don't know. We could probably do a whole show just on that one.
Really, we could.
But if we want to keep it together, I keep pitching La La Land to Liam.
But I was thinking we should do the other movie that we watched. So that same night, we watched The Greatest Showman. Remy fell asleep. And then we decided to watch It. because we were like, why not stay awake until 2 a.m. to watch a horror movie when we haven't watched a horror movie since before Remy was born?
Yeah, so almost 4 years,
yeah,
guys.
So genius decision on our part. So we watched it. We both seen it.
The original,
the two-part
I've
mini-series.
I've never read the book, though.
But
I have.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, there were a lot of similar beats between the two films, so there was a lot of similarities. You were a bit more scared than I was as we watched the movie. As you were basically, I think I took a picture, but I don't think I posted it. But it was like you basically like looking at the screen through your fingers.
Oh, I was watching between my fingers.
With like a pillow and blanket pulled up to your chin. Yep. And then you very much like would not sleep with any appendages outside of the blanket that night. And told me that I could not fall asleep until you had fallen asleep.
And sure enough, I wake up in the middle of the night and saw it. Thanks, Pennywise.
Yeah. Oh, no, we also got woke up in the middle of the night because Remy had crawled into our bed and wanted water. And so I was like, there's no way Brittany's going downstairs to get Remy's water.
No, I wasn't.
So I'm definitely going to have to be the one that goes down. All right, we'll have a sip of this one for now.
Anyway, we did watch it finally. And these are both movies that came out last year that we didn't get around to seeing, but we wanted to. So I don't know. I don't think that they go together, so that's why I don't want to put them together in an I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That, other than the fact that they were released the same year.
Yeah, they both came out last year.
I feel like one is
a Halloween
the musicals
movie.
Would go better together.
Yeah.
But, and then maybe you guys can recommend another scary film for us to watch, and that could be like the Halloween week.
Right.
And then we'll do, or if we're lucky enough to go see the new Halloween, we can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How that one measures up. With it, I thought it was good. I didn't find it as scary as you did. And we had an interesting, we'll elaborate on this. We had an interesting conversation that maybe horror movies don't scare, at least for me, they don't scare me as much anymore with the like shock and horror part of it, because I am more afraid of the parts that are real, mm-hmm. like the fact that the father was abusive.
Right.
You know what I mean? And to me, like that is more upsetting to me than Pennywise biting a little kid's arm off, you know? Like, I don't know. Because there's the part of it that you can distance yourself from what's happening on screen. So both movies, I'd say you guys should watch them.
Worth a watch,
you know,
sure.
We'll elaborate on them if we do end up doing the I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That for them. And go watch Greatest Showman. That's
that
so
one
freaking
definitely
good.
You have to if you haven't seen it like that, us for some crazy reason.
And that was another thing. We woke up and I expected to still have like it in my head, and it was not at all. I still had the songs playing through my brain for Greatest Showman. That's how catchy they are. So. Cannot recommend enough. So cool. Anything else you can think of we've been up to?
Now let's talk about some news.
Let's do the news.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
All right. So Lady Gaga as Ursula. Can you see it?
I actually can. This is one of those casting rumors that it's like, and it is just a rumor. Like, but the interesting thing about this is the way they talk about it is that she's at like the top of Disney's list, which if you remember back when they were doing The Lion King, they were saying that Beyonce was at the top of their wish list.
And look who they got.
Yeah, exactly.
Beyonce for Lion King.
So I think it's a strong possibility that if she is who they want, which let's be honest, like she can act. She did well in American Horror Story. She's doing the
Star is Born.
Star is Born, that she's getting great reviews on that one as well. So we know she can act. Obviously, we know she can sing.
Yes.
And I feel like this, if I was going to cast her as any role in a Disney film, this is perfect.
Ursula would be the one for sure. Because she just has that look of, not that she's evil, but she can pull off evil easily.
Yeah.
Like that will come so easy to her. And I think that when you think of Poor Unfortunate Souls, think of Lady Gaga singing that song and how much she would kill it. Oh my goodness. I don't want anybody else to be Ursula now after hearing this. And so I'm going to be really bummed if it is just a rumor and it doesn't end up happening, because Lady Gaga is one of those, I don't know. I don't know how she feels about Disney.
Right.
You know, she's never really been like a big like Disney. Like, you always know that some stars prefer types, and I don't think Lady Gaga is the type to be a I don't know. I just don't see her falling in line with Disney ever, but I want it to happen.
Right.
I just don't know if she cares enough to. And I could be completely wrong, and that could just be my perception of her from interviews and things, you know, that she talks about. I would not see Disney as being on her radar.
Yeah, well, I think maybe it's because think about it. She was also rumored to be cast in the Birds of Prey movie for DC.
I couldn't see her doing that either.
It's like she passed on it apparently. Mm-hmm. So I could see this being one of those things where she's like, "Well, thanks, but no thanks." But like you were just saying,
she's gonna be like, "I'm going to Broadway."
Well, but I'm trying to think. Like, she's got to be close to my age, right?
Yeah, I think she's early 30s.
I'm mid-30s, honey.
I know, but I think she's early 30s.
Oh, she's younger than me. God. But yeah, when you think about that, it's one of those, if that is the generation, like, why wouldn't you jump at that type of opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It'd be like, even if I was a well-known actor and was doing all these things, I would still have that affinity for the movies and whatnot that I grew up in. So to have the opportunity to perform in a role like that, similar to like how JJ initially was like, well, I don't want to direct Star Wars. Like, I love Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I would just mess it up. And then finally realizing, well, he didn't want anybody else to do it.
32.
So, yeah. So she's even younger than I am. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could see her. She's between your and my age.
So it was like, yeah, she's closer to my age.
Yeah. I could definitely see her being of that mindset where it's like, hey, this is,
I hope so.
I grew up with this. Why wouldn't I?
I really hope so. I think she would be great as Ursula. I'm okay with that for sure. Really, it's not our call. It's just a matter of you said there was a lot of praise for her, like in the, I think, interwebs of people like being all for it. I think most of the things I read were like, yeah, Lady Gaga for sure.
Right.
But of course, you're always going to have those people on the other side who are like, no, I think we could do somebody better. But really, I don't know if there are better singers out there than Lady Gaga right now. So I'm okay with it.
So I think you and I agreed our dream casting then is going to be Lady Gaga for Ursula, Zendaya for Ariel, and then Zac Efron for Eric.
Yeah. After Greatest Showman, I just want Zendaya and Zac Efron to be like love story peeps.
But also, also knowing that Tom Holland can sing and dance.
Can he sing?
Yeah.
I know he can dance.
Well, he was Billy Elliot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, interesting. So,
Zac Efron or Tom Holland? Which one do you go with? Who's more Prince Eric-y to you?
Efron, yeah. For sure.
For sure,
Efron is way more. Yeah, he's great.
With that all being said, who do you cast as Sebastian? I feel like that's the other critical role. Right?
That one I will have to look
into. So think about it, though. Initially, Disney had the idea that his voice was going to be like an English butler.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go that route or do you go Jamaican?
I think
your Caribbean
with
feel.
The times, I think they got to stick with Caribbean
agreed.
You got to. You can't take that away from people.
Right.
Sorry, just don't do it, Disney. Stick with the Caribbean feel.
What's his name? Is it Dougie Fresh? Was that the one from Cool Runnings?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't know the names.
He's Sanka?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want. That's what I want as Sebastian.
Who knows? Who can sing? Can he sing?
Well, you could probably get one of the Marley sons.
Oh, there's plenty.
Well, we just saw the one in Steven in Luke Cage.
Was it Steven?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very like normal name. And we're like, wait, what?
Yeah, right. How's that Ziggy and then
how
Steve?
Did you get Steve?
Right?
Anyway. Yes. But yeah, he was great. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look into that for sure.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm still okay with Zendaya playing even more so after watching Greatest Showman. Because after, I think that was my only worry, was her being able to sing.
Right.
That type. Oh, she's phenomenal. She's so good.
Rewrite the Stars is probably my favorite song right now. And that's like not just in the movie, but like
the song. Yeah.
It's so freaking
good. So good. And if you don't know who is singing, she sounds like a young Beyonce.
Yeah. It's very full. Like her voice. And the songwriters, Benj and Justin, said you can hear her smile come through. When her and Zach are actually singing together.
I think the
director
said that. Gracie said that.
Oh, yeah. It seriously was so, so good. So I'm a fan.
I'm okay with that.
If that's the way the casting goes, I'm
100%
on board.
There was another one that people were hoping for, or like young people were hoping for, and it's Ariana Grande as Ariel. And she can sing. I'm not even going to fault her there. I think she can sing amazing when she doesn't do that thing with her talking voice in her songs. Her
Cat.
Yes, Cat from Victorious or whatever the show she was on. When she doesn't do that in her singing, she's great.
Yeah.
So I know she could pull off Ariel as well. And it's another, you know, ethnic person, which I think would also be great.
Right.
But then it's also just, I don't, people are worried with Zendaya is that they don't see her being, this is completely crazy to me. I'm guessing they've never watched her on Disney Channel ever.
Right.
They don't think she could be like she's too sulky is what they say. Like she's not like
peppy enough.
Yeah.
Well, I could see that because
she's Ariel is.
She is very sarcastic.
Because
you
is.
Think about her in Homecoming, you think about her in Casey Undercover. Mm-hmm. She is she is a little bit
but even before
biting,
that
more
she
sarcastic.
Was But why not?
What was
why
her,
can't Ariel have a little
other,
bit more attitude?
What was the show she was on before with What's-Her-Face?
Something about dancing.
Step It Up?
Was it Step It Up?
Yeah.
Shake It Up.
There you go. Uh-huh. But I thought she was like
She was more not as sulky, I guess. But she was younger.
Yeah, she was very young.
And that would showcase her dancing.
But she's also a great actress. And I thought she did really well with Greatest Showman, so I could see her definitely acclimating to that role very quickly.
She could pull it off. I think she could, whatever they need her to do, I bet she can do it. Or honestly, she'll probably bring her own spin on it because that's kind of what she did with this film as well. And they were like, do it, Zendaya.
And then you get James Corden be the voice of Flounder and just let them play off each other. That would be super fun.
That would be really fun.
I dig it. Cool. So Disney releases the first trailer for Aladdin live action. And oh my God, I was so freaking excited for this. So it's very much a teaser. It really doesn't give us a whole lot. I mean, we get to see looks more like the Lion of Wonders, but the Cave of Wonders. We also get to see Agrabah from a distance. We get to see inside the cave itself, or lion, or tiger. And
then,
Oh my. And then we get Aladdin reaching for the lamp. So, and the only dialogue we get is literally
Cave of Wonders.
It literally sounds like it was just pulled from the movie. It's not even just that they had somebody else record the Cave of Wonder lines. Like, it sounds like Frank Welker's Cave of Wonders, which I thought was interesting.
But I don't know if I have yet to find if it's actually him, because I've looked up both IMDb and Frank Welker to see if he's tagged for the live action.
And
he's not yet, but I mean, that leaves it open for what? He was Abu, he was Raja,
right?
And Cave of Wonders. So is he going? I hope so. I think that would be amazing.
Do you think we got as little as we did because there's not much of it that has been completed?
I think
in terms of production?
Well, I think that, and it's a teaser. They can't give away their big things. They can't give you the genie, even because they know that's what everybody wants
what
to see.
What everybody's
right now.
Waiting for.
Everybody
the genie.
Is going to judge it off of Will Smith's genie. And hey, we did too at the beginning. We were kind of skeptical a little bit. And then the more as it went on, I'm ready to see Will Smith as a genie. I don't even care anymore. Yes, Robin Williams will always be the best.
Yeah.
And I'm sure no matter how amazing Will Smith is going to be, he will never be Robin Williams' genie.
Right.
But I bet he will make genie his own. I'm sure he'll be amazing.
Oh. Well, he's a drastically different style. It'd be like if you had Jim Gaffigan. Like, he would be a very different genie than Robin Williams was. Not to say better or worse,
different types of comedy.
Yeah.
Like, their delivery is so different. And with Will Smith, it's also like a flavor type thing. Like, what is he going to bring? It's going to feel different. But I can't wait. I'm glad they didn't give us Genie, because I'm still the person who's don't give us too much in a trailer. You don't have to. This was just a teaser.
Well, that, and we know the story, right? So they don't have to give us a lot of like plot points as they're doing these trailers and the teasers. I'm more excited to see
the music.
Well, definitely the music, but I'm more excited to see the way that what's the director's name?
Oh, Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie. I'm more excited to see the way that he shot it, because I love his
Guy
movies.
Ritchie films, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean Sherlock Holmes easily is one of the greatest movies. And his directorial style is fantastic. And I feel like he would probably use the same cinematographers that he usually the director of photography that he usually uses. So I would like to see if they have a lot of those similar beats, a lot of those same feels. Edgar Wright kind of has a lot of that style as well. So I don't know. I'm excited just to see the movie itself. I don't need a whole lot given away in the trailer. I would like to see how they're going to render Will Smith, right? Like, yeah. Is he going to be physically there, or is it still going to be this astral form?
And
will he go back and forth?
He tweeted himself when he put out the poster. He was the one who released the poster for Disney and was saying, I can't wait till y'all see me blue. And I'm like, oh, is it, he's going to be blue? Like,
gosh.
Or is he just doing that? Is he just, you know, yanking our chains? But he straight up said, I can't wait for y'all to see me blue.
That's rad.
I'm going to assume he's going to be blue like the genie. I'm okay with it. Let's keep it as close to as possible, but also take some liberties and make it Guy Ritchie's own, I guess.
Yeah.
And the music, I thought, sounded really epic.
Does sound good. A lot of pulls from the cartoon. So.
And you got to think, it's going to be musical as well, because Guy Ritchie straight up said, no, this is going to be a musical, just like the animated one was. So after coming off of Greatest Showman, I just want to see that. I want to see Michael Gracie's Aladdin. I want to see Michael Gracie's Little Mermaid. He can do all of the musicals from here on out.
Well, it's just because how closely he worked with the songwriters and saying no, that song's not right yet. You need something else. Obviously with these, you're pulling from songs that have long been in the establishment of you know,
but they just
Disney
gotta make
legacy.
It bigger, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why live action just seems like it has to be bigger. Well, more grand.
Why not?
It's amazing in animation, and it will always be the best. Like, these films will be great. Yes, the live actions have yet to let us down, but the animation will always be number one.
Yeah, well,
the originals.
That's inarguable, right?
Alrighty. So, what else we got to talk about? Oh yeah, Downtown Disney. So that luxury hotel we know all of you were just waiting to stay at, because we all have $800 to just blow on a night.
Oh my goodness!
No big deal.
That's just to park your car. That's not even for the room.
And you got a tip on top of that. It's not happening anymore. So that luxury hotel, we talked about it a few episodes back when they had a bunch of, I guess, Disney and Anaheim kept going back and forth on the numbers, the taxes, like the tax break,
right,
whether they're going to get it or they're not going to get it. And Anaheim just straight up said, no, you're not going to do it. Like, we're not giving it to you. We jumped through hoops for you so much, and then this time they just weren't going to budge. Hey, I guess Anaheim's doing Anaheim. So Disney's not getting that tax break. Disney's not making that luxury hotel. Which means, what the heck is going to go there now? So the theater is going across. Remember, that's going to the Garden Walk. So AMC.
Right.
So they're not going to go back there unless all that paperwork is just not through. And they're like, yeah, we'd rather stay in Downtown Disney.
I would think they would.
But I'm sure it's also more expensive to be in Downtown Disney than it is to be in the Garden Walk.
Well, and then to also feel as though you are expendable.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, well, they didn't move us this time, but who's to say there's not another
next time.
Yeah,
right.
That's something else that they want to put in there.
Yeah, because you got to figure ESPN Zone is closed. Rainforest Cafe is closed. They just brought back the Earl of Sandwich, which we just talked about as well. So that's coming back. Who knows for how long? Because right now the Imagineers are working hard on what are we going to do with this area now.
Right.
I'm kind of glad that the luxury hotel is not happening. What about you?
I'm neither here nor there, because it was one of those, well, we'll never stay there, so it doesn't
really
matter.
That's why I'm
glad
that it's not happening.
Yeah, I mean, we were fortunate. We were fortunate enough that there was a random price break at Grand California, and I think we paid $220 a night.
You can't do that anymore.
And we stayed there for the two nights, and we're like, oh, this is awesome, because the third night it jumped back up to $400, so we're like, yeah, this is great. So just having had the experience was a lot of fun. It was a nice hotel, but then we also realized we don't spend enough time in the hotel for us to need to spend that kind of money. It's great to stay in a Disney hotel. Eventually, we will stay in the Disneyland hotel, just because it's the one of the three we stayed in. But it's hard to argue doing that. I think if you're coming in from out of state,
it makes more
sense. Yeah, because you want the full package. But for us, because
how often are you going to come?
Exactly. We go so often, almost 5-6 times a year now, that it's superfluous for us to stay there. The last time we stayed at a Disney hotel, we stayed at Paradise Pier for a night, and that was when Remy was 4 months old, because we wanted to make sure his first hotel stay was in a Disney hotel.
Yeah, we were just being silly at that point. But I don't know. I didn't plan on staying at the luxury hotel. Who knows? Maybe if things were changing our future and money was just rolling in, then sure, I guess that's why people throw their money at things like this. I don't know. I feel like it can go so many better places than where you're going to sleep for a night when it's more than almost your mortgage. I think that's kind of nuts for one night, and you're going to pay that, you know, for a whole month where you live. I just think that's so crazy.
Yeah.
But hey, for some people, that's nothing. It's chump change. But that makes me excited that it's not happening. It's was something that was just going to take up a big space right there, which was going to be weird for the Disneyland Hotel and Paradise Pier anyway. Like, what was the point of like blocking off that section with another big hotel? You know, yeah. Like that means they just had absolutely nothing that else that they wanted to go out there. Now they can bring in more shops. They can bring in fun things to do in Downtown Disney for people who, you know, go and they only stay so long and are like, hey, I have a day of relaxation. Let's spend it in Downtown Disney. Put more fun things there.
They could move all the Bugs Land rides.
Right. Put a kiddie area over there. They don't even have to be rides, but just be kid friendly. No, just fun stuff. Like, more people love shopping. I don't know why, when you're in Disney and you like shopping at other like merch, like I don't get that. Like, right. I'm going to Disney, I want to go to Coach. Really? You want to buy an $800 bag right now when you can go buy an $800 corn dog? Like, what are you thinking?
Priorities, dummy.
Gosh,
well,
yeah.
Obviously, I need my $800 Coach bag to put my $800 corn dog in the Coach bag.
It makes sense.
A doy. No doy.
I don't know. It still baffles me, but maybe it's just because we're like, we need all the Disney merchandise.
This is what we do.
So, I'm excited to see what's going to come of it. Imagineers, don't let us down this time. I think the luxury hotel was going to be nice. I'm just glad it's not happening.
Same.
All right. But then that also leads into the pedestrian bridge that we are getting, though. That is going to be at the, not the new structure, but it's next to Mickey and Friends.
Yeah.
It's the one that is, I think, going to make like over 7,000 new. No, I don't think it's that many. Parking,
yeah.
Is it that many?
Yeah, it's
parking
massive.
Stalls? Like 7,500? Yeah. Was that the number? I don't know. It just sounded really big. So another parking structure right across, or well, right next to, butted up to Mickey and Friends. Basically, this is going to alleviate all of the traffic. The tram traffic. The pedestrian bridge will help with the walkers, the pedestrian traffic that's on, it would be Disneyland Drive and like Magic Way or something.
Right.
Where that would slow down traffic for cars coming in or trying to get through the area because the, you know, that walk sign is up for 20 seconds. It all, you know, adds up. And those big crowds will now get to go right through the walk bridge straight to Downtown Disney. So
nice.
I think it's awesome. It was something that they talked about, I think, last year.
But initially it was going to be on the other side.
Yes.
It was going to be
on
Harbor.
From like the business side of things.
Yeah. Well, it was going to be going from like Disney.
Where the convention center was, right?
Was it? I thought it was further down closer to Interstate 5.
So you're thinking on the other side where like Howard Johnson is?
Yeah. Like way down. It was like a weird place.
I thought
it was
going to be near the convention center. That's where I thought they originally wanted to put one.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't think the traffic is that crazy coming from that direction.
No, I don't think so either.
But it makes sense from the parking structure.
For Mickey and Friends, like that area, it does definitely make sense.
All right. So looking forward to that. Just a quick little hashtag for you guys to use on your posts from now, I believe until November 20th. You can use Dream Big Princess, everything spelled the way it should be. That's hashtag on your Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter posts, whether that's video or picture. And anything that has to do with, hey, dreaming big. And that could be for all kids, not just girls. But what this is going to do, Disney is going to donate up to $1 for every post. And that's going to be the minimum $500,000. All the way up to $1 million for the Girl Up from, what is it, the United Nations Foundation's program, which supports girls' leadership and empowerment.
How cool.
So do it. Just, hey, you post something every single day or every other day or every couple of days. Just put that hashtag in there. Dream Big Princess.
Nice.
And you donated $1. Kind of.
Kind of. Well,
I think that's awesome.
You got Disney to donate $1.
I love that. I mean, they got so much money. They can do it.
Exactly. Nice. So transitioning to our Marvel segment for the show. So there's the new photos that had surfaced, and there's actually also been some video as well for Spider-Man 2, Far From Home. I always want to call it Homecoming 2, but obviously that's not correct. I mean, we've seen the Spider-Man Noir suit, or the stealth suit, as people have also been referring to it. But this time we actually get to see him in what looks like more of an updated version of the suit that we saw in Homecoming and then also in Civil War. With this one, though, being more black instead of blue with the red, and then the symbol on the back, instead of being red, is actually white.
Interesting.
So a little bit different. There's actually been some video footage actually with Tom Holland and Zendaya on like the streets of New York, and she like climbs on him and they spring up into the air. So there is definitely going to be a scene where he's going to swing away with Mary Jane. So with MJ. So I think that's going to be really cool. I think that I'm a fan of the black on the suit. It is more of a throwback to like the Amazing Fantasy 15 suit, even though I always assumed it was just supposed to be a very dark blue.
Same. Like shadows. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Exactly. But the way people have kind of been saying is like, no, it was intended to originally be black, which I would disagree with, because back in those days, most of the heroes, they typically tried to keep them red and blue. Mm-hmm. And then they usually tried to use like purples, reds, and greens
for the villains.
So it was kind of interesting that some people were kind of referencing that specific comic. Either way, I'm excited for it because I think the suit does look fantastic. And I like the evolution of everybody's costumes as each new movie has come out. I don't think anybody has had a redundancy in their costumes, except maybe Black Widow, where she's like, well, this black cat suit that I'm wearing, the zipper only goes down.
Halfway now.
Yeah, it's halfway down. Or in this
Not three
one,
quarters.
This one, it's all the way up at my neck. So it's like, just kind of depends until we get to Infinity War, and when she's like, well, now I'm in green, so go figure. I'm in military scrubs now.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I like when they change up suits and bring all these new costumes in. It's kind of just another way of being able to sell merchandise, because now you want the new version of it. Because with Spider-Man, for so long, you couldn't buy any form of Spider-Man. Like, I'm looking at this pin that we have right here, and you know that that's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And almost any toy can come out and be the blue and red, and maybe some people can't differ from which film it came from. Now you can, you know?
Well, I mean, but it'd be the same thing for Iron Man. Any red and yellow costume, you're not going to look at it and be like, that's the Civil War. Or no, that's the Age of Ultron. Like, you just look at it and
Some people can.
Oh, it's Iron Man. Yeah, I mean,
you.
Me.
Yeah, weirdo.
Because I'm awesome like that. But I think that that's just part of it. But that was the same thing in Star Wars, where, like, you knew each one of Han's outfits, right? Like, oh, well, he's in the vest with the blue pants. It's got to be A New Hope. And it's like, oh, he's in the long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, it's all
with
part
the jacket.
Of the
he's
movie
in,
making process.
Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, so, but I think that's evolution of the character. So
yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm on board.
Yeah, I think it looks good. Moving into the next bit, this one was actually really sad news. So Iron Fist has been canceled. So there will be no season 3. Finn Jones, who plays the immortal Iron Fist, and then Jessica Henwick, who plays Colleen Wing, have both come out with statements. Finn basically thanking the cast and crew, the fans, and calling this a new beginning. So that there will be a new beginning for Iron Fist with Colleen Wing with Jessica Henwick. She actually shared a behind the scenes footage that had like a whole lot of her and like the stunt choreographers doing different moves and like playing pranks on some of the other cast members. I'm actually incredibly saddened by this news because I was a really big fan of season 2. We won't give away any spoilers, but the way they ended it was very much a cliffhanger ending.
Oh yeah.
So I'm kind of bummed that they're not putting more into this one. What about for you?
Well, no, I'm bummed, but when they say that this is a new beginning, are they meaning for themselves and like their personal lives? Or are they meaning this is a new beginning for a possible?
Well, he phrased it as when
direction
the whole when they close a window, they open a door type analogy. So that's the way that he kind of phrased it. People have been saying that maybe it is the possibility that each one of these shows will get canceled as they eventually then move to the Disney streaming.
Right.
The other rumor, of course, is that we're going to get Daughters of the Dragon and Heroes for Hire. So there will no longer be an Iron Fist.
Right.
We will get a season 3 for Luke Cage.
Meh.
But maybe that's what it is, that Luke Cage season 3 will be Heroes for Hire. And it will be Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Gotcha.
So there is the potential for that. I don't know. I mean, I think this week we'll probably try to hammer out that episode if we can do the Defenders breakdown, or unless we want to save it for after.
I'm thinking save it for Daredevil. But
once Daredevil's out?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So maybe we'll save it for another week. But I do think that there's a lot of missed potential with this, but maybe, I don't know. I can't. I'm going to put my faith in Marvel on this one.
Right.
I'm going to put my faith in that they know what they're doing. and that we will eventually get a completed arc for these characters.
I know, because that's the only bummer there is like where the story leaves off. This season definitely got way better as it went along.
Yeah.
It was a little bit rough for me in the beginning. I was not that tuned in. And then it got going. And then by the end, I was ready for another season of Iron Fist. So hearing this news, it is a bummer. I was not expecting that. But I kind of also was expecting that, knowing that the Disney streaming service is around the corner. Disney is not one to mess around with their properties, so yeah. I'm sure they have something going on behind the scenes with Netflix on whether or not they can continue these, or if they got to shut them down because, hey, they're taking their people back.
These are our toys. We're taking them with us.
And I'm sure it's contract for what they've already had down, and they've probably already met it. So it's not that they are, you know, burning any bridges here. It's just a matter of it's done. And now we don't continue with you guys.
Right.
We move it somewhere else. Who knows?
I guess we'll see. So I don't know. I'm excited to see what the future brings for the Immortal Iron Fist. Mm. Nice. So continuing to our last little bit of Marvel news, well, until we kind of overlap into the Star Wars stuff. But the kind of interesting thing here was the Avengers 4, there's been a leak of the full breakdown of the first trailer that we're expected to get within the next couple of weeks. Based on history for Marvel, it usually has been in like early to middle November for when they're trying to tease the next spring release, if you will. With this one, it's been very the trailer breakdown itself is very in depth. It's very descriptive, which can lead me to believe two things. Either it's incredibly accurate because they actually were able to see the trailer, and it is an inside source, or they just researched a whole lot of the rumors and sandwiched them together in a very believable way. So it's either somebody that's really good at lying, or it's somebody that actually has insider information. What were the kind of – I don't want to go through the entire trailer breakdown because that would take us a whole nother hour. But what were some of the cool things that stood out for you? If you guys want to read this trailer description, it's all over the internet. If you do not want spoilers, give us about 5 minutes. I don't think we're going to go much longer than that.
Right. Possibly less, too, because I don't know if I want to talk too much on this.
Probably 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes. I really don't want to talk too much about spoilers or anything. And this, I don't think these are spoilers. I think it's kind of what we figured was going to happen from leaked pictures in the past.
Right.
We know that we were getting a lot of old photo or them returning to their old costumes.
Yeah.
So what was the reason for them to be in Avengers, like the original Avengers costumes again? Because they're going to probably time travel. They're going or something like
quantum realm
travel. Yeah. However they want to go about
quantum
this.
Leap.
I don't know. It's going to be all X-Men and they're going to confuse us the heck about which timeline we're in.
Well, I liked the idea. They touched on definitely like the traveling back to the 2012 Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
We know we've seen Loki in set footage, set photos before, so we knew that there was going to be a return for Loki. You know, we've seen the promo art we posted on our Instagram. If you guys want to check it out, there was a toy leak for Rocket and Thor, and they're wearing what is being referred to as quantum suits, as it is very reminiscent of the suit that Hank Pym wears when he goes into the quantum realm at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp. Spoiler alert. But honestly, if you haven't seen it by this point, shame on you. We kind of know that there is going to be a touch on the quantum realm. We know that's going to play a pretty instrumental factor. I like the idea of them time hopping to steal Infinity Stones through different pieces of time. And that incentivizes Thanos to want to go back and be like, well, now I got to stop these guys because they're trying to stop me. I kind of like we've seen the set photos that had Tony looking older, more gray hair in what looks like a S.H.I.E.L.D. outfit. So I like the idea of him being the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. and like reinvigorating that department as well. I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of stuff in there that I thought was really good. If the trailer is shaping up and that's the story that we're going to get, I'm totally on board. I think this is really good. The description also does say that the title reveal is Avengers Annihilation. Still not sold particularly on that title. I kind of would have preferred Reassembled as a title, but I mean, it is, or Gauntlet, Infinity Gauntlet, I think would have been really cool.
Yeah.
Especially if the whole idea of them stealing the stones and then Tony is going to create a Stark Gauntlet.
Right.
I think would be really neat. We got to wrap it up here in the next 30 seconds. and then the other thing is the idea that Bruce Banner and Hulk come to an agreement where it's going to be Hulk's body, but Banner's mind. I actually really like that. So if that's the way that it goes.
That's kind of sad for Nat.
Why is that sad?
I don't know. Does she want
to... You have the biggest badass boyfriend on the planet. In the universe.
Well, that's she did with Banner as well. He's just in Banner form.
Yeah, he's a wimp.
Oh, his brain is puny Banner. The biggest brain.
But his brain is still there.
I know.
Got more muscles than you. Nice. So if you guys want to check out that trailer breakdown, by all means, definitely go on to the interwebs. If I feel like it, maybe I will post something through Instagram if I want to type that stuff up. But that's all I had for Marvel news. So let's jump it on into the galaxy far, far away.
Which is also still kind of Marvel news. Because Marvel decided to let go of, hey, Chuck Wendig.
So yeah, he was working on some of the Star Wars comics.
Yes.
And this was interesting because it wasn't Lucasfilm, apparently, that let him go. And this is through Chuck's own tweets that he had put out, mm-hmm. kind of describing the situation and the events and as they occurred. And the interesting thing about this is that he seemed more sad than angry about the firing. And then towards the end of his, I don't want to say rant because I feel like that makes it seem like it's incoherent, but
right.
His stream,
his post,
if you will.
Yeah.
The thing that he says is, to conclude, this is really quite chilling and it breaks my heart. I'm very sad and worried for the country I live in and the world. Ever created people all around, courage to you all. I have dire fear that this is going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. So a lot of his tweets that got him into the frying pan, if you will, were concerning, he was kind of attacking the GOP. He was kind of attacking supporters of Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, he was putting his beliefs out there in his political affiliations, which obviously there's no issue with that. But he was being very vulgar. And I think ultimately, Marvel took offense to his inability to be what they refer to as being civil.
Yeah.
Which I get.
You
I
get mean, that part of it, it, yeah.
Well, it's the idea that you still need to be professional.
Exactly.
And nowadays, the way that social media is, if I'm at work and me and another individual have a particular conversation, unless that individual then goes to HR and says, hey, these are the things that Liam said, that's really the only way I'm going to get in trouble. Right? Whereas now it's like we put these things out on the internet and anybody can report us at any single time.
Yeah, you can get in trouble at any moment.
Yeah, our
bosses. If Coke decides to go through your Twitter and was like, I just want to see you check up on these people.
He's a little too obsessed with Disney. I think we need to let this one go.
Let's see what he has to say about things. No, but no, anybody can do that for any job and you can be let go. I think the reason why this is just kind of a bummer is when you're on the same side as his argument, you understand where he's coming from. But it's also one of those, you like you said, you got to be civil about things.
Yeah.
Just because you have a platform, when you're using the F word, F this, F that, F the president, F, it does come off a certain way. And let's be the bigger people. We can, we don't ever have to agree with anything we don't want to. And if you oppose the president, you can do so in tweets, but you can also do it in a way where you're not making fun or, calling him names. There's different ways to show that you don't agree with anything that he stands for. Yes. And same with Kavanaugh, and same with the Republican Party. Like, that is okay. And it goes for both sides. It could be the opposite, but you got to be civil about the way you say things when you have such a big companies overlooking everything you do.
Yeah, when there's a spotlight on the things that you do, when you have a degree of notoriety, I think that you want to be an example to set for other people. And to be honest, like when somebody goes off and uses too much profanity, it starts to sound uneducated.
Exactly.
Like if you want to present yourself as a professional individual, then why wouldn't you want to sound as educated as possible.
Right.
So.
And we know, obviously, that he is. And he obviously gives out great content. I mean, he was one to give us, to change the direction of where he wanted the stories to go in the books. Like, to put LGBTQ now, right?
Yeah.
References in his, story arcs. Nobody else was doing that, you know? And the fact that he was doing that and he was getting crap already from people who oppose that stuff,
mostly it's the comics gates people, right?
Yes. It's the readers. It's not anybody who was putting out. They were all happy that he was putting this stuff out. It was the people who were reading this stuff were not okay with it.
Yeah. Well, but that's what I was saying with the Comics Gate, mm-hmm. where it's basically a bunch of readers that have broken off to create their own brand of comics mm-hmm. that have none of the social justice warrior themes to it. And they're trying to do it as in retaliation to what Marvel and DC are putting in their comics. Specifically, they mostly call out Marvel for it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these artists and writers are basically like, good, you guys go do whatever you want.
Do your thing in your own little corner of the galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. You do what you want to do, but don't offend people in the process.
Yeah. So, it's unfortunate for Chuck Wendig, and I wish him all the best. But hopefully this is...
Another reason to open their eyes, like with
the James Gunn situation. It's just like, know that what we do is scrutinized. I mean, even on this podcast, the things that we say and that we do here, I mean, there's plenty of things that I'm sure people could pick us apart for, but you know, thankfully, knock on wood, we haven't really gotten that too bad yet. So I hope that people do strive to make the world a better place, and that we all do our part to keep moving forward.
Well, and continue to keep your opinions. Like, it's okay. You can put them out there. Just watch how you put them out there.
Yeah, exactly. So nice. So I think that's probably the smallest amount of time we devoted to our soapbox. So moving on to the next little bit of news. So Star Wars Episode 9, typically, they've, for some reason, have allied themselves with American football, which seems like a really odd choice to me.
They've been since Force Awakens.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that just seems so odd to me that, like, when it was Force Awakens, that first trailer was... It was like on a New York Giants game. Like, and it was like some random, like...
For Force Awakens,
midweek game.
Super random. Well, no, it was just a... We need people to watch Thursday night football and go ahead and... get all those Star Wars nerds, and they did.
I mean,
because we did it.
Yeah, no, well, we did, but I mean, you're getting a lot of Star Wars people to watch football, but are you getting like a lot of football fans to be like, oh, I'm going to finally give Star Wars a chance? Like, I want to see the Venn diagram that those overlap. But I don't know. I think it's an interesting choice. I mean, obviously, the Super Bowl is the most watched sporting event other than like the World Cup. I mean, I think here in the States, it's at least the most widely viewed sporting event. I could be wrong with that. I'm sorry if I'm speaking out of turn, and people know more about that than I do. But the what they're saying is that we'll probably get the title. You know, we'll get that first trailer, and that'll all happen on February 3rd. I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm sure we'll be watching the Super Bowl anyways, because
I like the halftime show.
Typically, that's the only reason that we watch it. Unless the Buffalo Bills magically make it in, and then at that point I probably wouldn't watch it because I'd feel like I was going to jinx them. So
you're not allowed. I don't think the Buffalo Bills are going to make it.
No,
I'm not even watching football. I don't think I've watched one game this year.
Nope. Same.
And I'm going to go ahead and say the Buffalo Bills are not.
That would be a safe bet. Nice. So I mean, not a whole lot on that. I mean, that's the rumors for right now. They're not saying that it's definite, but I would assume if they were going to do any sort of teaser drop, that would probably be the one that I would go for.
I agree.
Nice. All right. So finishing up with our last little bit of news here. So this is going to be on The Mandalorian. So in the teaser image that we were provided by Jon Favreau, it actually shows our Mandalorian in his... brown regaled armor, if you will. But what was really interesting about this as well is that if you really pay attention to the stock of the rifle that's slung across his back, you may feel like there was a little bit of familiarity there. So for those of us that remember, or at least haven't forcibly removed it from our memory, the holiday special back in 1978, there was actually an animated short, The Story of the Faithful Wookiee, which starred Boba Fett in a delightfully off-color costume. And in that costume, he also has a rifle that he uses to keep his dinosaur that he's riding in check, this weird Loch Ness monster. And it is an Amben Phase Pulse Blaster. And it's basically a medium range weapon with a forked prod at the end. And what we're seeing from this promotional image is that very much looks like the stock. That's not to say that that's definitively the same rifle, but it is kind of cool just to have that. That's kind of that throwback, right? Like that tie-in is always kind of fun.
Yeah, so. I'm going to go ahead and say it's not going to have the prod like on it. But
you don't think so?
No, but I think the end of it will probably. I mean, we can see the end of it.
Right.
It's going to be similar to his rifle, but I don't. Are we expecting him to ride dinosaurs in this one? Or?
I mean, if he does, I'm going to be super pumped, but mostly because it's going to be ridiculous, not because it's like, oh, this was a great decision.
I don't know, because that does make... maybe it does have the prod, because they are talking about it's going to be more Western feel. He's going to have to get around somehow, and there's got to be a space horse out there somewhere.
Yeah, if he's got to get around, why not get around on a dinosaur?
It's not going to be a dinosaur. It's going to be a space horse.
Space horse.
I don't know space what planet. Kind, but it will look cool.
Nice.
It's going to be a unicorn.
Right. I hope so. But that's all I got for news. What about for you? Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Perfect. Well, we'll take a short respite and we'll be back with some shout outs. Shout outs!
We spend a lot of time talking about Marvel on the show, for good reason. They're always ahead of the curve when it comes to bringing top-level entertainment to their fans through their comics, TV shows, movies, and now podcasts.
Marvel has teamed up with Stitcher to bring you the first fully scripted 10-episode series, Wolverine: The Long Night. Following a string of mysterious deaths in Burns, Alaska, Special Agents Sally Pierce and Tad Marshall, voiced by Celia Keenan-Bolger and Ado Essendo, arrive to investigate. They soon find there's more than meets the eye when all signs point to one man, Logan, voiced by Richard Armitage from The Hobbit series. This is your first chance to not only enjoy this premium Marvel content, but you can also support our show by going to stitcher.com/premium and using the promo code CloudCity to get your first month free. If you fall in love with their new show, as well as the other exclusive content available on Stitcher Premium, then it's only like $5 a month. But we'll still hook you up with that first month for free, even if you decide to cancel after that.
So you're getting a free month's access to the first Marvel podcast. Plus, you get to help out our show. Cut the check!
Cut the check! Cut the check! Cut the check!
So please do us a huge favor and head over to stitcher.com/premium and start your free trial today using the promo code CloudCity. That's all one word. Again, that's stitcher.com/premium and use the promo code CloudCity.
Fine.
It's time for some shout outs.
Shout outs.
Oh, I was really hoping that Remy was going to chime in on that one again.
No.
Best shout out.
Shout out.
Duo ever. Anyway, so let's talk about the live action teaser trailer of Aladdin and see what you guys had to say about it. And let's see. That dude Chris said, I need genie preview. Mm-hmm. I know everybody was hoping we were going to see the genie in this one, but in good Disney fashion, they were like, ha, 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 nope.
Not
and KermitKid7 said, Guy Ritchie is directing? Sold. And same here. Yes, definitely. DGeekster said, which we obviously know he's not a huge fan of the live action remake, said, at least Frank Welker is still the voice of the Cave of Wonders, .. Because I think they just ripped it from the anime. Right. Let him put it in this one, but it's true. And then Darth Omega, let's see, said, oh, he was responding to DeGeekster and said, yeah, but I doubt Iago is going to talk, so no Gilbert or whatnot. Because we did see Iago in the, which we're assuming is Iago, right?
Right, the there bird was, just there was flying a pair all over the place.
Like, yeah, flying around there. Let's see. Patricia Swift said, this makes me so excited for the movie. I do wish we got to see more than just one character, though. Either way, I'll be there opening day. Awesome. Darth Omega also said, looking good, but the real judgment will come when they show the genie. I'm watching it regardless, and we'll keep the movie and animation separate. Awesome. I like that. I like nice. That outlook on it and the positivity from there. So cool, cool, cool. We're looking forward to it. I know we will be there opening day for sure. Aladdin is both of our like top animation films.
Well,
if not the number one, it's in the top three, I think, for both of us.
Well, when we did like the March Madness thing earlier this year,
Aladdin just wins all the time. And the music, I'm most excited for how this music is going to come off and how the musical aspect of it is going to come across. I was looking through the whole cast on IMDb and it was like dancer, 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 dancer. And I was like, oh, I want to see you dance. I want to see you dance and you dance and you dance. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Let's see. More news on that front, because we had posted the poster that Will Smith had released. That dude Chris said Will Smith is going to do a great job. Agreed. K Perez 822 says, oh yes, me too. Me too. My second runner-up childhood Disney film. And that second runner-up to Beauty and the Beast from her childhood. So both in the Disney renaissance of the 90s there. And let's see. Jedi Robbie said, don't screw this up, Disney. This is my favorite Disney film, and I'm already going into it very cautiously. So, hey, when it's your favorite, I get, we hold things dear to, you know. So it's hard to see things remade sometimes. And I don't know. I think we just got to keep an open mind and always remember that our favorite is still there. I think that's the only way you can look at it. So,
yeah.
Even though, like, things can be ruined or whatever, it's still... But at least your favorite rendition of it, it still exists, and you can return to it and enjoy it just as you did before. You know, you could just hope that this is going to be something awesome that you get to add to that.
I mean, worst case scenario, it's not quite as good as the other one, but it's still good.
Right. Yeah. Because I don't know. Aladdin's got a lot of big shoes to fill there. Animated Aladdin. I don't know. So did Beauty and the Beast, though, for a lot of people. And I think they did a great job with that one.
Right.
I know how you feel about Beauty and the Beast. You don't have to open your mouth.
Thank you. I was about to say. I was trying to find, like, how do I say something that's not negative but then isn't too positive where people are like, oh, he loves Beauty and the Beast now. No.
You enjoyed the live action more, though, because you didn't care for the animated one.
I think my favorite part of the live action was when Remy woke up and was crying and I got to go stand in the lobby with him. So I didn't have to actually watch the live action.
Oh, no! Burn!
Zeus! No, no, I liked it. I mean, I thought it was really well done. Everybody knows when we reviewed it, my complaint was Emma Watson's voice sounds like she was in an empty room with way too much reverb on it. So,
right. I think a lot of people was her singing voice.
Yeah. But no, the rest of it I thought was fantastically done. So I'm honestly, me personally, looking forward to it because I am that person that I like different versions of stories that I enjoy.
Right. Yeah, same. It's like, let's see somebody else put their spin on it.
Yeah.
Because really, we all find inspiration from things. And I can say this all day, how much original content is really out there anymore.
Yeah. Well, everybody draws influence from the things that they mm-hmm. enjoy. Like George Lucas took a bunch of beats from, you know, Akira Kurosawa films. Mm-hmm. And then Flash Gordon. You know what I mean? Which nobody was watching Flash Gordon like, well, this needs to be remade. You know, it's like you draw from the things that you are a fan of.
Mm-hmm. So. That inspire you. So live to inspire others.
Exactly.
And hope that you get something remade.
Right.
Or not, because then what if they make way more money than you did on the original? And then you're bitter about it. So yeah, I guess I see both sides.
I guess.
The argument is
you
everywhere.
You walked yourself back out of that one.
The argument is everywhere. So yeah, I can see both sides, but I just like more.
Right.
Give me more.
Yeah. Nice.
More is better?
More is better. Nice. Any other shout-outs?
No, that was it.
Nice. Yeah, that's kind of all I had as well. So I guess that's all for this episode of Hilt Radio. We appreciate you guys hopping on and hanging out with us. Bimo, where can they find you on the interwebs?
I guess you can check me out at Citizen of Disney.
You can find me at Liam Bright. You can also follow the show at Hilt Radio on Twitter and Instagram. That's H-Y-L-T Radio. And you can also email us hiltradio@gmail.com.
But until next time,
try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at hiltradio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's hyltradio.com. See you real soon.